After thus rebuking Ravana, Lord Ramachandra fixed an arrow to his bow, aimed at Ravana, and released the arrow, which pierced Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, "Alas, alas, what has happened? What has happened?" As Ravana, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his airplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 9.21, it is said, "Ksinya punya marcha lokam visanti," when the results of their pious activities are exhausted. Those who have enjoyed in the heavenly planets fall again to earth. The fruit of activities of this material world are such that, whether one acts piously or impiously, one must remain within the material world according to different conditions, for neither pious nor impious actions can relieve one from Maya's clutches of repeated birth and death. Somehow or other, Ravana was raised to an exalted position as the king of a great kingdom, with all material opulences, but because of his sinful act of kidnapping Mother Sita, all the result of his pious activities were destroyed. If one offends an exalted personality, especially the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one certainly becomes most abominable. Bereft of the results of pious activities, one must fall down like Ravana and other demons. It is therefore advised that one transcend both pious and impious activities and remain in the pure state of freedom from all designations. Sarvopadi vinir muktam tat paratvena nirmalam. When one is fixed in a devotional service, he is above the material platform. On the material platform, there are higher and lower positions, but when one is above the material platform, he is always fixed in a spiritual position. Sagunan samatityetam brahma bhuye kalpate. Ravana, or those like him, may be very powerful and opulent in this material world, but theirs is not a secure position, because after all, they are bound by the results of their karma. Karmana daivanetrena. We should not forget that we are completely dependent on the laws of nature. Prakriti kriyamanani gunakarmani sarvasa ahankara vimudatma kartahamiti manyante. The bewildered soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. Bhagavad Gita 3.27. One should not be proud of one's exalted position and act like Ravana, thinking oneself independent of material nature's laws. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Ganandana Salakya Shakshurin Minitam Yena Tasmai Si Guruve Nama Shichaitanya Mano Bistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Siguru Siyutapadakamanam Sigurun Vaisnavamsta Sirupam Sagrajatam Sahaganaraganatam Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sivisakam Vitamsta He Krishna Karuna Sinha Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatirubhyaccha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaisnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasani Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Ravana came to his end because he offended the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ravana had no understanding of his relationship with the Supreme Lord. Ravana did not understand that all qualities and all attributes that he had were simply gifts that were given to him by the Supreme Lord. and that he had no claim to fame. Ravana was thinking, I am very powerful, I am very wealthy, and in front of me, what can anybody do? That's the way it is, because I am Ravana. So this mentality is so deeply rooted. Iswaraham aham bhogi. I am the Lord and Master, the controller, and I'm the enjoyer. So there is a little bit of Ravana in us. And unless we are reading this pastime in that spirit, of seeing that, we also unduly tend to claim proprietorship. Unduly we take pride in our attributes. Whereas actually karmana daivane trena. Previous karma is a factor by which we get certain attributes. But with that karma comes also responsibility. With every little bit of opulence that one has comes increased responsibility. That is the situation. Just like we are here in Europe, right? And which is kind of considered first world. First world, second, third world, and all that. And we can decide what is first, second, and third. But, of course, the UK is part of the first world and has been part of that for a considerable amount of time. And, of course, the glory days of, you know, the United Kingdom, have been widely spoken of, and it hasn't come to an end yet. Yeah. So here we are. So all good and well, and maybe it's not as good as it seems to be, you know. I would think so. I mean, it's not as opulent as you would expect in the first world, you know what I mean? But leaving that aside, our responsibility is there to, with that opulence, do something for the benefit of the world. Just as it says in Bhagavad Gita, balam balavatam chaham, the strength of the strong is meant to protect the weak. So that's very interesting. I mean, we see, you know, like, we see that now the strong are misusing their strength to terrorize others. As I heard this morning about some skinheads harassing people. And that's typically the situation. The strength of the strong is used to exploit and harass others. How different is the Bhagavad Gita? So all the wealth that is there should be used for the benefit of the entire world, instead of for our own comfort. Sorry, immigration, you know. Prabhupada said, like dogs, you know, no, you cannot come in. So immigration, so tight, so difficult. The UK, try to get into the UK. you know, it's like this line, that line, you know, look in the camera. Okay, don't smile. Right? You're not supposed to smile on these occasions. Now, somehow or other, in these identity photos, they don't want you to smile, because we want you to be thoroughly intimidated. You are about to enter into Her Majesty's kingdom. Do you realize that? Yes, I do. In the interest of your safety. Nothing is allowed. So this is the situation. How we are trying to control. But then everyone is in competition with each other. And ultimately the the bigger controllers, they are terrorizing all the other controllers, just like a pack of dogs. You know, the big one is controlling all the other ones. So that's all that's going on. That bird again. Yes. So Ravana was such a person who would terrorize the world, and who would just simply very ruthlessly take all the resources of the world for his own pleasure. And it had gone to an extreme extent. You read the beginning of the Ramayana, and it's kind of shocking, because it starts with these Rakshasas flying in the sky, and Ravana has just taken the airplane from his brother Kuvira, which is quite an opulent Vimana, actually. It is a nice plane, and it moves at will. And in this plane, Ravana is roaming the skies while he's accompanied by various demons who are all riding on different animals and holding different weapons in their arms. And then these demons, they descend on some brahmanas that are performing a yajna, and then they defile the yajna, and then they start to feast on the flesh of those brahmanas. That's the description. So extremely demoniac. But now also the entire world has become so demoniac. So the remnants of the demoniac mentality are found in miserliness. A demon is very miserly. A demon is a kripana, a miser who is concerned with his own benefit, and who is not like engaged in constant welfare work for the benefit of all. And that's really maybe what we can draw from this verse. Those who are elevated, those who are truly elevated, are those who are not very concerned with themselves. They minimize their own needs. They simplify their life in that respect. But they utilize all their energy for the benefit of others. That spirit is truly the spirit of the exalted souls, who are elevated. And they reside in the higher regions of the universe. And all those who are selfish, self-centered, and self-centeredness may not only be that we exploit others, but it may also be in hankering and lamenting. Poor me, I'm always the one that has to go through so much trouble. Oh, self-pity and hankering. Oh, I wish I could have all these things. Oh, and I don't have them. And oh, that is my misfortune. Hankering and lamenting. It's Kshudratma. Kshudratma is also mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita as the opposite of Mahatma. Mahatma means the great soul, who is Udaradi, very broad-minded, and Kshudratma is a small-minded person, one who thinks very small, and who thinks of his own petty little things, my own little petty house, and my own little petty life, and my own little petty family, and my little petty breakfast, and my little petty car, and my little petty children, and my whole little petty world, right? That's it. So small. Srila Prabhupada is speaking about this partial mentality. This partial mentality where we become partial amongst living beings, where we are not appreciating all as equal. Then we say, this child, oh my little darling, is my child. And that child, go away, you horrible monster, is the child of the neighbors. Ah, yes.
darling, darling.
So that's what we see also in Bhagavatam, in the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, this partiality. And this partiality has been defined by Prahlad Maharaj as Pasubuddhi, as animalistic intelligence. So that is very, very widely spread. And that is the history of the world. Yes, the history of the first world. How many ships have we brought back with stolen wealth and then built nice mansions? Fortunately, we can engage them in the service of Krishna. But think about it. Shakespeare also says the deep, dark, and evil things that are behind the wealth of the world. So we can consider that. All that is Ravana. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is describing personalities like Ravana, Kamsa, and Putana, he takes them as prototypes. He uses them as prototypes, and he begins to speak about all the Ravanas and all the Kamsas of this world. Not one Ravana, but so many Ravanas, right? So, therefore, we must thoroughly be thoroughly dedicated to the absolute truth. That is known as sadhava, or one who is a sadhu. A sadhu is a saintly person who is thoroughly dedicated to the absolute truth, to that mission of being the servant of Krishna, which is truly our position. Not Isvaroham, not I am the Lord and Master, no. Krishna Nityadas, I am the eternal servant of Krishna. And then from that platform, works in the world. Then everything changes. Then no more need for borders. Then no more need for keeping people out, because then wealth is meant to be shared. Then no more fear and miserliness, thinking here is this wealth and there's not enough. There's not enough. Therefore, we need borders and guards so we can keep the wealth for ourselves. You see, there's not enough. That's the issue. No, there's not enough. There's not enough to go around. So we keep it nicely for ourselves, and then anyone else who wants to come and share it, you know, visa. Sorry, you know. Can't give you a permit to stay here. We keep it for ourselves. So there's no understanding that the Supreme Lord can supply unlimited facilities. There is no sense of that, and therefore that, and simply if we surrender to Krishna, that Krishna will supply. That is in Kunti's prayers, who describes how the kingdom of Maharaj Yudhisthira was blessed by the presence of the Lord, due to his devotees, right? And because the Pandavas were such great devotees, the Lord stayed with them, and their whole kingdom became graced. And in that kingdom, everything was there. There were so many jewels. There were many jewels in the rivers and in the oceans. There was gold widely available. There were very powerful healing herbs. There were also brahmanas who could heal by mantra. It is said in Ayurveda that the best type of medical treatment is through mantra. Then less than that is through herbs. Said, but the worst is through operation. Said, they had operations also in the Vedic culture,
They did have, you see, in the Sushruta Samhita, descriptions of eye operations, which is, you know, it's quite amazing, right? But that was considered like not really healing. That was considered low class because it was a form of mutilation, of permanent damage, right? Will never be the same. Nowadays, you sneeze and they want to cut. Man, that's how it is. You know, it's like a little operation. Yes, just small. It's like there's this nice devotee. He's a surgeon and he's an ear specialist, and he's super nice. But he wants to drill out my ears. Drill out my ears. I'm not a car, you know what I mean? Drill out the ears. Forget it, you know. We're not going to drill out my ears. No way. Right? But that's how it is in this world, which is just deprived. The funny thing is, misers are holding on to whatever wealth they have and do not want to share, and the result is they're being deprived. So here we are. In Europe, we brought wealth from all over the world. We got it by hook or Captain Cook. And somehow or other, we brought it in, and here it is, you know. And now we're sitting on it. But gradually, it's running out. It's running out. London's still going strong, but you go a bit up north, you know. It's like, God, people are poor. Yeah. It's like, England is sinking in poverty. I'm sorry to bring it up, you know, so early in the morning. you know. But it's happening. It's happening. And why is it so? Because of this miserliness. Because of just bringing it all in for us instead of giving it out. Giving it out. And the more we give out, the more everything will happen. That is our movement. Our movement is based on this principle of Nama Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namna Guru Tvisa Namaha. It is a movement of extraordinary generosity. And we can see that, like, when Srila Prabhupada was present, it was like that. Even when I joined, at that time, the Sunday feast was still 15 incredible preparations. I mean, absolutely incredible. Every single one of them was like, you know. I mean, the rice loaded up with cashews and paneer balls and whatnot, you know. Not to speak of the other preps. Everything was ecstasy. And there was abundance. And there was, and nobody paid. It was all for free. The guests would just come, and you know, and just you'd eat to the max, and then they'd give you packages to take home. Right? That's how it was. I mean, no wonder people were joining like anything. it was just inconceivable, inconceivable. Such generosity. I mean, I don't have to pay? No, it's okay. I can have seconds? Yes. I mean, even thirds? Yes, no problem. I can even fill this tiffin? Yeah, fill it, you know. Okay, yeah. Take it. Wow. That's amazing. And that purchases people. See, preaching, this movement, preach, you know. Preach. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. It doesn't work, you know. I'm just out there trying to hypnotize these people, and they're just so sinful. They are so fallen. No, they are so sinful, so low, they're not ready to take it. Just see. No. Actually, it doesn't work like that. Through hypnosis, this movement will never spread. Right? This movement will only spread through generosity. It is generosity that is actually what makes people feel indebted. It's amazing. They give you all these things. Just that's incredible. What kind of people are these? I can't believe it. That's what will do it. That's what will actually bring people. Incredible generosity. So, yeah, but then how will we live? Don't worry, because generosity breeds generosity. And that's the principle of this movement. We're just generous. And then people say, wow, that's amazing. You're giving all these things away. I want to help. I want to help. And then they start to give money and just giving and giving and giving. And this whole spirit of giving, that is the spirit of this Hare Krishna movement. And then people will join and everyone is welcome. Yes, 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 yes. Come, come, come. Yes. I, me? Yeah. Can I come in? Yes, yes, you too can come in. Yes. Me? Yes. I don't have to have visa? No, no. Come, come, come in. In this way, this movement is a wonderful movement based on this Mahavadanyaya, this principle of just being incredibly generous. Vaishnav generosity is something amazing. It is about giving not only what you have, more than that. It's about giving yourself. Oh my God. I mean, I can't just transfer something, you know. I'll transfer something. No, really. I feel really for all the poor little suffering kids in the world, you know. Just give me a bank number and I'll transfer something. No problem. Internet banking, anytime. Safely from behind a computer. Nice and cozy. No. No. No, 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 no. We must be ready. Ready to reach out. And we see that in Srila Prabhupada in his old age, in the heat in Delhi, extreme. I don't know if you've been in the hot season in Delhi. It's when the brain starts to cook in your skull. You know. And then Prabhupada collapsed due to heat wave. Yes, just tirelessly trying. Why such an old man? Stay home, stay in Vrindavan. Radhe Radhe, sweet Krishna, Krishna, holy Dham, just be absorbed, chant the holy name. Why bother? No, have to bother, have to go. And Prabhupada traveled and went all around. And when Prabhupada, you know, came to New York, he got a cold. And then there's a series of lectures, and you can, if you listen to them on the tape, you can hear how the cold is developing. You know how colds go. They first come, they're wet, you know. It's like, you hear all these wet sounds, right? Then the cold dries up, and the voice becomes noisy, and gradually, right? The dry cough from all the mucus on the chest. All the stages of the cold. You can hear it, how Prabhupada's going through it from lecture to lecture. And then one of the devotees is saying, oh, Srila Prabhupada, you know, please just take some rest, you know, I mean, don't travel, you know, I mean, just rest. And it's like, and the devotee, and Prabhupada says, no, no. And then the devotee says, you don't have to travel. And then Prabhupada says, I don't have to travel? If I don't travel, then who will deliver you? That's a fact. So, see, because Prabhupada, at an age when everyone else stays home, nicely retired, and sort of, he did the opposite. Then Krishna will empower. This is the principle. Krishna will empower us. Krishna will provide. He will provide us the things that we need. He will provide us the strength that we need. And this is the only way that this movement will be successful. By extraordinary generosity. And this is the only way that we'll ever be peaceful in our own spiritual life. If we are not generous, and we're just sitting here, like in My spiritual life is a very, very nice spiritual life. Like, you know, like I have my little altar, and I have my, yes, I have my room with my books, and I have everything, and my prasads. I have all these things. Yes. Then we live in our own little Krishna world, you know, and we have lots of retreats, and, you know, and contests for the children, and we'll have, you know, just really, and now we just found another way, you know. We have a new thing, a new program, something we've never done before. This time we're all gonna go and stand on our heads on yoga mats all together and chant Hare Krishna. Wow, that's far out. We never did that before. Gee, you know. Great new ideas. Yes, some fresh input in the community. And then we are an inbred society which is slowly drying up, and little by little we start to look at each other and think that devotee is envious. Whereas, you know, this practice, this spirit of being generous is what Srila Prabhupada planted in this movement. If we have memorials in the Bhaktivedanta manor about this temple being Prabhupada's European headquarters, right, then, you know, we can appreciate, right, what he was doing. How much he was pushing this movement, and how much he was pushing his leaders to push forward this movement. Nowadays, it's not like that anymore. Now we're not being pushed so much anymore. Things have become much more balanced. In the old days, it was, there's the deep end, throw him in, preferably, if not on his first day of joining, on the second or the third, and then sink or swim, you know. And those who sink, yeah, well, they were demons anyway. They were not really devotees, you know what I mean? They were Kali Chelas, disciples of Kali, right? The real devotee, Prabhu, surrenders. I think my feet are freezing off, Prabhu. You're not this body. I'm so tired. You know, we've been out on the marathon for 12 weeks now. You know, think we could get 3 days rest. Prabhu, the soul is never tired. I've heard these things in my days, you see. I'm not making it up. I mean, that one about the soul is never tired, that blew my mind, you know. I'm going like, now it's too much, you know. The soul is never tired. I had a good sleep after that one. There's a Bhagavatam class. The soul is never tired. I got so, boy, I slept an extra 2 hours after that one. That is too much. Anyway, the point is that in earlier days, this movement was much more regimented. It wasn't so much Prabhupada, but it was the leaders under Prabhupada who began to organize the movement in a regimented way. And it was like that. But then that broke down somewhere in the mid-80s, and, you know, that's when a lot of devotees moved out, and sort of overnight saffron was a color that went out of fashion. And, you know, I remember, because when I joined, I was somehow or other a grihastha, right, already. So I was that fallen, low creature, you know, the second class citizen who was being tolerated, you know. You, a lusty man, you know, who was so fallen that he could not control his senses, you know. But anyway, still a devotee. Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. So in an ocean of saffron, I was tolerated. But in the mid-80s, it started to change fast, you know. And these days, it's my turn, you know. Speck of saffron in an ocean of white. It's kind of, oh, well, what to do? Every dog gets his day. So, getting to the point. The point that I'm trying to make, in the earlier days of our movement, the movement was more regimented and people were pushed, you know, to be generous. Nowadays, it's not like that anymore. Nowadays, it's more difficult because nowadays, you know, they're going to tell us nicely with a psychological handbook in the hand. Prabhu, if you don't feel traumatized by the request, you know, then possibly you could consider, you know, I mean, no, really, going out today? It's like, it's not so cold actually today. It's much better. No, possibly, maybe, if you wish, you know, if you so desire. My dear devotees, if you so desire, you could kindly distribute a few books instead of, you know, the old days. Well, so nowadays we have more responsibility ourselves. We have to be more self-motivated. And that is food for thought. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. The key is still Namana Vandanyaya, still to flood the world with our generosity. But now, no one's going to tell us. Now, we have to do it. Tough. Yes. Who said it was going to be cheap? Prabhupada said, if you want diamonds, you have to be willing to pay the price. So I'm sorry for getting so pushy this morning about what to do. I truly believe that this is the only way, by being very generous, that our movement will be a success and that our life will be a success. I think so. I don't think there's another option. So with that, I want to say goodbye to you because I'm leaving tomorrow morning early, so see you next time. It was very nice here in the Bhaktivedanta Manor. Thank you so much. Any questions?